All right, so you're listening to this podcast right now, London is Blue, and guess what? We host our podcast on anchor.fm. That's right. If you're looking to host your own podcast, this is the easiest free way to get started. It's got a content creation tool, allows you to record and the podcast right from a phone. That's right. Don't even need a computer, but you can do it there too. They'll also help you distribute it, which is probably the most challenging part. You don't want to have to mess with that. They got you covered. You can get it right on a Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as any other place podcasts are found. And you know what? You can monetize it too. Make a little cash for sharing your great content with the world. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one individual place. So you know what? Head over to your app store, download the Anchor app, or head to anchor.fm to get started if you're ready to launch your podcast and make it happen.
Hi, this is Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
This is William.
I'm Mason Mount. You're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to part two this week. In case you missed it, part one, we talked about the end of transfers as we know it. We had myself, Brandon, Nick, and Dan joining me, and special guest, big ups to our friend Nisar Kinsella. Used to be day in and day out going to football matches, and fortunately now you're just hanging out with us. How times have changed.
I'm used to Zoom chats, don't worry. So this just feels like a normal Sunday afternoon, really, a normal Sunday evening.
Yeah, it's the new way of life. I think the good news, though, is, Nick, this isn't the life we want to pursue forever. We definitely want to get back to face-to-face human interaction.
Yeah, Naz, you're one of our favorite people to get a beer with in London, and that is high on my mind when things kind of settle down. We have to go share a beer when we get back over there. So let's hold out. Let's hold out tight.
Isn't it plural with Naz? It's always plural. It's not beer. It's beers with
just
Naz.
Just one.
You have to be very specific about these type of things.
Accurate, yes. Accuracy is important. All right, well, we talked about it in the last episode, but this one we're going to be talking about the Chelsea women's season most likely, possibly, potentially ending. This is from Miguel Delaney and the Independent saying, Women's Super League season set to end. The season is on the brink of being curtailed, although a champion will be decided given the FA's commitment to settling leagues, quote, on sporting merit, end quote. So we had had a fun conversation with Jean Lelechon earlier in the season. We had talked with Olivia about the women's team, Nick. It's no secret that the women's team is the premier team in Chelsea right now. They were going for a treble. They had just signed Sam Kerr, one of the biggest signings in the winter. They've now added Bayern Munich's captain, Melanie, I'm not going to say her last name, out of respect to her.
Smart.
This team is continuing the momentum, and it has all come to a screeching halt, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. The club had just won the Conti Cup, which had kind of been evasive over the years in terms of
first time.
A trophy. Yep. So they had won that. They had beaten Arsenal for the third time in a season, which is tremendous. And they're a top three rival with City for Chelsea. They were on their way in the FA Cup, and they were on the way in the league. And it's interesting, Naz, because you know this team was not supposed to be a treble contender at the beginning of the season, but they'd certainly kind of proven it on sporting merit, if that's the that's the kind of key phrase that we're using here throughout the season. It's probably the best women's team in the league and in the cup competitions.
Yeah, probably. And you know, Arsenal was so good last season, and they've got, you know, a superstar up front. So yeah, it wasn't easy, and it's never easy, and it's always a three-horse race. And it's basically decided in the games between Man City, Chelsea, and Arsenal. And that's kind of how it goes every single season. And Chelsea have got really good in those big games, getting on the right side of it very often, not dropping points against the lesser opposition, because pretty much everyone's lesser opposition. Maybe Man United and Everton are okay. Spurs are okay now. Both of those two got promoted, Man United and Spurs. So yeah, it's kind of the way the league is, really. And I think Chelsea, you know, probably are a good shout, and they would win it on points per game, weighted points per game, which is how the league will be decided. But I think that there will be as well a little bit of sort of a tinge of sadness about it, because I think that, you know, it was very much up for grabs, and Man City were right in the mix, and Chelsea could have dropped points. I think Chelsea's season would have been decided on games against Tottenham and Everton in the running. They also had Everton in the cup competition as well. They were the toughest games, and Man City had to play rivals Man United as well. So you could have seen a great story. And the important thing about football is these stories, like when a rival denies you a title and then you go back the next season and do them in. So I think that really what Emma Hayes would have loved would have been to just do it on merit and do it her own way and win the treble and have these fans there. And there's been great attendances at the games as well at King's Meadow. So yeah, that's been a massive achievement as well, because you want to turn these big games that they do at Stamford Bridge into people coming to King's Meadow. And that's the future of the women's game, is getting regular fans into the stadium. So yeah, I think that it's a bit of a bittersweet, it would be a very, very, very bittersweet way to win a league, and it would kind of be an asterisk on it, but I think that, you know, you'd take it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think we would. And the challenges to that point there is that, you know, you look at where this team was heading, look at some of the performances we were getting game in, game out from players like Bethany England, who just couldn't stop scoring. It basically was, you know, just the London buses phrases, like that she just basically was just doing it for fun at certain points. When you needed her in any moment, she was coming up with one. And you got to think for, you know, these women players who, you know, don't make as much on a salary perspective as, you know, the men's players, just such a huge, you know, gap or delta in between what their compensation structure looks like. It's unfortunate, because they were, in my mind, we were going to win all three. I don't think it was out of the question that we would have won the FA Cup, and we would have, you know, knowing that we'd beaten Arsenal three times, you know, we had gone 1-1-0 with City, because we had drawn them once and we had beaten them once. So, you know, I think very much should showcase that we were the better team, or, you know, most days out could go beat the, at least the best domestic sides, Nick. I know that we struggled a little bit, you know, in European conquest. So four titles or four trophies were not going to happen, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, it's interesting though, Brandon, right? Because let's say that Chelsea win it on merit, you know, there's automatic qualification to the Champions League next year, which is what Emma Hayes really wants to focus on. We kind of know that. So I think Chelsea are pretty safe, both men's and women's, with whatever happens, to go to Europe next season, if they do end the leagues early. It's interesting because you take a look at placement, and if it's points per game or whatever, I think you, if you're Arsenal and you miss out on that spot after being, you know, really good, I mean, it's a three-horse race, like Matt said. It has to be gutting to maybe not make Europe next season because you're kind of out of that running. So it's, I don't know. I would be pretty disappointed. I think it's such a close race that, you know, it's not like the men's side where Liverpool is so far ahead that you could kind of easily make a determination on who gets the title. But yeah, the weighted points per average is tough.
It's tight.
I think it's a shame as well, because it was like, it was such an excited league. I mean, it's just probably a better spectacle than a men's game where Liverpool were in the way of the league, but you've got this league where there's three teams competing and they could all win the title. I think Chelsea were favourites, but they could easily have dropped points in that running and lost it. So it makes it the best title race probably in English football right now, and we don't get to see the conclusion of it. So it's such a shame, and it was a great spectacle. And yeah, but you're right about the Champions League. It's an interesting point, because you should almost, these three teams deserve to be in the Champions League every season because they're so good and they set the bar so high in women's football. But like, one drops out and then that team becomes even more dangerous in the title race. So Chelsea probably were able to, you know, put a bit more resource in their cup competition runs than they would otherwise, because they'd have to play against Lyon and Wolfsburg and stuff like that. So yeah, the Champions League situation's a bit strange in women's football, in that is almost like one great team has to sit out of it, but hey ho, that's the level of competition we've got now.
Yeah, for those on the clarification point, the top two teams in the FAWSL move on to the Champions League. Yeah. So it's not a top three or top four like the men's side, because they don't have that many teams on the table.
Look, another big problem for them, unfortunately, is there was a lot of momentum behind this league. There's a lot of attention, there's a lot of support.
Coming off the World Cup, you know, I mean, that's it's a big boost.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that's also a big loss for them. So, you know, just kind of the article outlined that The board meeting was held on Friday. Like, everyone is pretty much in agreement that they need to just end the season because the cost of testing and to run these games with no gate admission revenues, it just isn't worth it. We even see that in League One. They're looking at it saying, how much is it going to cost us to put on these matches, but no one's going to be there? And so it's this, you know, this cost benefit analysis that they're having to do, unfortunately. And, you know, while it sucks that we're going to lose it, I'm interested to hear what their decision is to end it on sporting merit. But, you know, hopefully not only the women's, again, championship, Premier League, League One, League Two, national divisions, whatever they are, we have to hope that these people in charge are making the right decisions so it can come back. And it can come back at hopefully a similar level to what we remember it as. Because if they can't safeguard what they have, like, it's all going to go away. And especially talking about the women's game, we know they're climbing a hill much harder than what the men have had. Obviously, the men have been doing it for over 100 years. The women are new. Women's sports is becoming more mainstream and things like that. Like, we've seen it in America. The women's, we have the best women's national team, and we struggle massively to have a league. They've started and folded many times. And so for this league and the Champions League and everything to really get up and running, they feel like they've got the right season now. It would be heartbreaking to see. And to your points earlier, Emma Hayes doesn't play for the domestic titles. She plays for the European titles. Like, we weren't in the Champions League and we're signing Rutger Guyton, Sam Kerr, like, and now Melanie Leupolz, these big time European players. She wasn't doing it for domestic Conti Cup and stuff like that. She's going for the Champions League, and Chelsea have backed her. And if that dream can't become a reality, that would be just wildly devastating.
Just a quick reminder of where the table is, right? Because I think it's important when we look at sporting merit. City played 16, points 40, goal difference 30. So pretty hefty.
Casual 30.
Chelsea, 15 games played. So one, they have a game in hand on City. 36 goal difference, 39 points. So hypothetically, you win the game in hand and you jump
even,
City.
Even draw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On goal, you can go up on goal difference.
Yep, good point. And then the Arsenal women are 15 games played, 36 points. So three behind Chelsea and 27 goal difference. So the two beatings that Chelsea put on them, 4-1 and I think 1-0, something like that, that essentially is your goal difference right there. And during the season, there was a couple of blowout performances. So, yeah, sporting merit would tip in Chelsea's favor, I think, like Naz was saying.
I'm just going to jump in and say, you know, the way Emma Hayes is sort of running Chelsea as well is that there's been a few weaknesses at Chelsea in recent seasons, like finishing has been a problem at times, and sort of Sam Kerr comes and fixes that problem, and you've got, you know, new signing from Bayern Munich, you know, loopholes. She'll be fixing sort of the midfield issue where they've kind of played a lot of defenders or moved, you know, strikers into the wing positions and stuff like that. And she sort of fixes that issue. So it kind of, it's all geared up towards that European push, as you guys were saying, where, you know, that Lyon team seems invincible. And I think Chelsea want to make them sort of pay for almost for dominating European football and sort of take some titles off them, which is a great way to, you know, a great place to, you know, go. And I think that it's not just Chelsea aiming for Lyon. Everyone's aiming for Lyon, but I think Chelsea probably got the best shot of shooting down Lyon and taking some titles off them.
An angry Chelsea side, well-funded and well-trained and well-stocked, is a not a side you want to go up against in most competitions. So very much looking forward to the return of European football for this women's team next season. But I think, you know, when we talked with Phil, our friend Chelsea Youth, about the, you know, men's U23 U18 seasons ending, we talked about, you know, who the player of the season was, and, you know, I think could do that today, talk about who would be the player of the season. I guess maybe the way to frame it, Naz, you think beyond Beth England, is there anyone else you would consider for the Chelsea Women's Player of the Season? Because I think it probably has to be her, but I'm also open to hearing a different point of view.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that she's the Player of the Season from what I've seen. You know, it's kind of interesting her journey, you know, going from somebody who's less fancied, who is like an outsider with the England national team, and now she's possibly a player they can build around, although England have so many good strikers. But yeah, she's put herself right at the forefront, and her goals and where she came from. She was on loan at Liverpool and she did okay there, but she's really come out of a shell, and I've interviewed her this season as well, and she's just such a confident person and stuff like that. But yeah, she puts herself head and shoulders above. But yeah, who else was good? I mean, Erin Cuthbert's always good when she plays. She's been in and out of the team a little bit, but I don't think we've seen the best of Sam Kerr, but there's some signs that, you know, I think that certainly Emma believes that she's really going to become a big player. So it's interesting to see how she will link up with Beth England. It's always interesting when you've got two top strikers. And then there's Fran Kirby, who's been out all season, but she's a massive player. So yeah, in the forward line, it's going to be very interesting. Ji-Soo Yun's always a, you know, an important player, technically gifted, probably dazzles everyone at training. So yeah, there's been a lot to be positive about. I mean, you could even go into defence, but yeah, it's probably a bit beyond my expertise level, you know, from what I've seen. But there's a lot of like talent there. Guro Reitan as well, the Norwegian international. She was a good signing. She's filled in some gaps there. So yeah, a lot of positives.
Can't forget Millie Bright. She's probably my favorite player on the team. But I think it was her and Beth England that made the team of the season, I think, by the BBC. So yeah, I think there's a lot of quality there for Chelsea, having the biggest goal differential and all that stuff, probably winning it on sporting merit. They only had a couple of players in the kind of final team of the season, which is interesting.
And a shout out to the unsung hero Drew Spence as well. It's probably a shame she's not had more England caps, because I think she's had a good season, really, where probably a less fancied player on paper, but she's probably, you know, put herself in the spotlight again a bit and had to fight for a place.
She's had some clutch goals too. I mean, she really comes in the John Obi Mikel role as the closer.
She does Swiss a great Army job. Knife kind of, yep, execution. You know, she would come in and just, you know, hey, I need something specific from you. Like, go do this. And regardless of what it was, whether it was like cleaning something up or, you know, just adding a little bit more of a an edge to the side occasionally in some of the one-on-one challenges, quite enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. We've obviously been to King's Meadow. And just, you know, again, watching that team live gives such a different perspective that you probably don't get on the streams and things like that. But so much respect for Emma Hayes and what she's done. I mean, she's going out and has her signings are so ambitious. But to you guys' point, Bethany England has stepped up big time. She's taken on that challenge and is crushing it. So I love kind of her story and what she's done this season. I think she deserves a lot of credit for it as well. But yeah, I mean, anytime you have rocks like the Captain Eriksson and Millie Bright and players that you can rely on week in, week out, those are kind of the unsung heroes that do the dirty work that, you know, usually doesn't get the same kind of merits and plaudits, but it's, you know.
And I would say credit also to, and we talked about her initially, but Emma Hayes this season, when you think about how good the City team have been, how great Arsenal have been, just, you know, from to go against those two in terms of challengers, even with maybe a reduced schedule of matches because we weren't playing in the Women's Champions League. Like, you know, those were some really tough games to be able to come back against the City team and, you know, 3-3 draw, which was important now more so to have that point on our kind of ledger, to be able to beat Arsenal multiple times with the quality of talent they have. Like, she had to come up with some really great game plans to do so, and that's, I think, a testament just how good this team really is, you know, from top down.
Yeah. All right. Well, more official announcements will come out soon. I'll be interested to hear what the football merit system of choice will be, since no one can seem to agree on what that should be. But really hoping this doesn't kill the momentum behind the women's game, let alone what Chelsea's doing in the women's game. So, Naz, appreciate you jumping on this one. Part 3 is coming up next. Football back. What can the Premier League learn from the Bundesliga's restart? So obviously we'll take a look back at what the Bundesliga did the weekend and talk about bringing the Premier League back. All right, Chelsea fans, that's a wrap. But until next time, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.